Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, the Gardaí revealed today that their teams responded to 48,000 cases of domestic abuse last year, an increase of 10% on the previous year. We're joined now by two women who are at the coalface of this crisis. Leanne Cuff, domestic violence support worker with the Tierman Domestic Abuse Service in Cavan Monaghan, and Priscilla Granger, who's a survivor of domestic abuse and founder of Stop Domestic Violence in Ireland. And you're both very welcome to the programme, ladies. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Sarah.
I might start with yourself, and you're a survivor, as I said, of domestic abuse. When you made that very tough decision to leave, can you tell us what supports were there for you?
Unfortunately, Sarah, I made that decision on the 31st of December 1998. And my little girl, Amy, was 9 months old. And I went to the local coin box because I hadn't got a mobile phone. It was taken from me. And I rang Rathmines Refuge. And all they said was, "I'm so sorry, but there's nothing we can do. We've no beds." And I had to return and go home and pack a bag and just get away for a day or two. But I returned on 6 occasions with my baby.
You tried to get away on 6 occasions?
On 6 occasions, and he always lured me back. He always brainwashed me to come back and that he would change and it would be better and don't be worrying and it's just the way I'm feeling and I'm sorry. It was the same old story all the time. There was no resources there. There was no services there, Sarah, unfortunately.
That was in 1998, and on the 6 times that you left, did you try and find a refuge, a place to go each time?
Yeah, I did. I ended up having to go down and tell my parents. But I didn't tell my parents the real truth. I told them a lie. I just said I had to get away for a couple of days. I needed to get my head together. I didn't feel well in myself. And I went to Leitrim. They had a holiday home down there, and I went down to them. And that was my only saving grace. But not everybody had, I suppose, the backup that I had, but there was, the services were not there. And I was embarrassed. Like, Sarah, domestic violence going back 23, 25 years ago was brushed under the carpet. It's still brushed under the carpet, unfortunately.
It is, I think, Leanne, Priscilla, but I bring Leanne in here. The Gardaí have today revealed that they responded to 48,000 incidents of domestic abuse, but you would wonder if that might be just the tip of the iceberg.
Most definitely.
Sorry, I'll hear from Leanne on that.
Most definitely. I think a lot of women wouldn't feel comfortable even phoning the guards even now, because only they will know the direct consequence as a result of doing that. Do you know? And I think it can be quite severe, but it's enough to put the fear there with them. Do you know? And I know there was 48,000 calls made, but there's also a lot of calls that were unmade as well, and they have to be kind of regarded in that statistic too, which is frightening as well to think of how many could actually have gone unrecorded. Certainly throughout the pandemic.
So many of us take for granted, I think, that our homes are safe. And then in the pandemic, it was meant to be the safe place to go, your home, wasn't it, for most people? It was stay home, stay safe, was the messaging.
Most definitely, yeah.
And then, of course, for these women in this situation, that message made no sense.
Yeah, I think it was probably the worst thing you could say to a woman who's experiencing domestic abuse is stay home and you can't leave the house. And even when the 2 kilometre restriction was in, that would have restricted them even further, because the pandemic certainly raised awareness and drew attention to domestic abuse, but it did restrict those that are already in dangerous and difficult situations because they couldn't escape if they needed to. So this would have been a huge impact on the woman's ability to safety plan her day and to risk assess how he was feeling, or how things were going to go that evening, where she could have probably took the kids away, went to visit her parents, done something that was restricted and taken from her. But the thing is, I think the pandemic, it highlighted what was already present in our society, only behind closed doors. Mm. We certainly take for granted feeling safe. I know I do most times, but especially in my role now, I definitely don't anymore. Do you know, but I think it's hard to imagine, unless you've experienced domestic abuse or you work within the field, do you know how it must feel for your home to be the most unsafe place you can be.
And of course, Priscilla, you know how that feels because you've been in that situation. And when you got away then, you decided to set up an organisation to help women who were in or are in similar situations to yourself. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we decided to set up an organisation to help both men and women. Because unfortunately, domestic violence isn't just on women, it's men suffer too. And I realised, my daughter and I realised, there was nothing there. We needed to be able to just, even to exchange a hand, a friendship, and say, listen, there is our number. If you're in danger, give us a call. So what we do basically is we risk assess to make sure that nobody is in a dangerous position, and then we arrange either to speak to them on the phone when it's safe or arrange to meet up with them and put a plan into place. And what we call it is a plan to exit. And unfortunately, most, I suppose, common one is you have to go to the family law court, the likes of Dolphin House in Dublin, where you apply for a protection order and then you start the process. And we would hold their hand from beginning right through to the very end, meeting with our in-house solicitor, Sandra McAleer, and her team, and giving them advice on how they need to get out safely. That doesn't mean they have to leave the family home, but it depends on how dangerous the situation is. Every situation and every case is different. But it's for someone to know that there's some victim, Sarah, at Christmas time rang us the week before Christmas. They had no money to buy food. We did over 300 food hampers for victims and sent out vouchers.
And you're operating, Priscilla. Yeah, you're operating as a charity. So you're operating as a charity, am I right?
We're a support group. We're not a charity. We're a support group.
A support group. Okay, so if you weren't doing that, if you weren't helping those 300 families, for example, over Christmas, who didn't have money to buy food, so what happens then to those women?
Well, they basically have to get loans. And I would say this is the difficulty. And not a lot of women face is they end up having to go to moneylenders.
Okay. And I know, Leanne, that is something that you think is important to get across, that domestic abuse isn't just physical. There can be financial abuse as well. And there can be obviously mental abuse. Can you talk to us a little bit about that aspect of it?
Yeah, I certainly can. I think it's still a common misconception. I think the majority of society that domestic abuse is only physical. And I would still have a lot of women that would, when they ring our service and have a chat with myself or my co-worker, Ashton, who's the other support worker, you know, they would say, well, he doesn't hit me. And it's nearly minimising everything that they've been through, in a sense that they think someone has it worse off. But it's only when you actually have a chat with them and just talk it out with them, or even sit down in a one-to-one support meeting and actually go through what's happening for them and explaining that domestic abuse is verbal, it's emotional, it's financial, it is physical, but there's coercive control as well. And coercive control is such a huge aspect that's coming into there's a serious light being shone on it lately, and I think it's very important because coercive control has so much involved in it. It's such an umbrella term. And women are not able to identify that this is abuse because it's done so manipulatively and well, in a sense, on the perpetrator's behalf, is what I mean there. Do you know, he does it so well, he or she. Of course, it happens with men and women, but we are predominantly a women's service, so we would always refer to it as he. But he does it so well, do you know, so it's hard to actually name it. So it's only when the woman actually speaks with us on the phone or comes in and sits down when it actually, she realises, you know, and you can see her face when it does click. Do you know, and it can be very hard to hear and hard to kind of even talk about, do you know, because I think even with the pandemic, and a lot of women would have said, you know, oh, it was really bad during the pandemic, but that's just because, you know, we couldn't go anywhere. Unfortunately, the pandemic wouldn't cause domestic abuse. It certainly had an impact, but it didn't cause it. Do you know, I think that's very, very hard for a lot of women to accept then, because they just don't want to believe he would do something like that.
And of course, one of the focuses in recent weeks, Leanne, on all of this has been where women can go, and Priscilla outlining what her situation was in 1998, where there was really just nowhere for her to go, the supports weren't there. But that's still the situation for very many women across the country, depending on where they live. What are the services like where you are in Cavan Monaghan?
There, at the moment, there is currently no emergency accommodation in Cavan Monaghan. The closest one that women will go to would be Dundalk and Navan. So it certainly places a massive strain on women who need to leave a bad situation. Do you know, so I think a lot of the time it takes an awful lot of planning into account. And a lot of women will come into our service and do safety planning with us and go through what their options are, be it the court process or be it a lot of the time women will go for private rented accommodation, which is actually proven quite difficult in a sense at the minute because of the housing crisis. So you would find you're just back and forth trying to find somewhere for them to go, and they can avail of the domestic violence rent supplement, which is 3 to 6 months. It's means tested, but it's fully paid rent for that woman to get her on her feet and get her going. And we, of course, would provide support and assistance in any way we can to get her to that point. Because when you're at that point where you need to leave your own home and take your children and even flee in the middle of the night or just, you know, leave, you need all the support there that you can get. And I think that's where we come in and we try our best to make sure that support is there for them.
Priscilla, if you could do one thing to try and change what's happening or improve the situation for women at the moment in this situation, if you were able to speak to the minister responsible right now, what would you ask for? What do you think is the key to help?
Number one, make domestic violence a crime. Make it a crime. Have a minister solely set up for domestic violence and have its own department and be able to work alongside the likes of Leanne and Calvin Monaghan. Have a refuge and enough beds and give more powers to the Gardaí. That's what we're begging for, is more powers to the Gardaí. And that is the biggest issue.
All right. Well, thank you both so much for joining us this evening to discuss it. And no doubt it is a topic we will be returning to. But for now, Priscilla Granger and Leanne Cough, thank you both.